Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here and worship with you this morning. I just love the worship. You know, it's just one of those things when you're alone with God and you think back of all these hymns and these beautiful songs, it just reminds you of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I don't take worship for granted. I don't take coming to church for granted. I don't take this opportunity for granted because I know where I've been and I know where I'm going, and that is by the grace of God. Amen. It's so good to be with you, and I'm excited to share with you the Word of God this next couple of evenings. And thank you for praying for me. Thank you for inviting me and entrusting me with the Word of God. You know, God has been great. My journey has been great, and I'll share with you as we go along about my life and about my walk with God. Amen. I want to speak with you this morning about the consecrated Christian, the consecrated Christian. And I'm going to incorporate my story in this passage. So the passage that we are going to focus on this morning is Job chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, Job chapter 1, and we are going to read from verse 1. Pastor, it's just good to know that we sense the Holy Spirit here this morning. Amen. And what a great place to be is in His presence. Job chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 300 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man of all the people of the east. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering from each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hands and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind in the desert came and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship and said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. God blesses the public reading of his word. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this divine opportunity that we have to congregate as the body of Christ, the body of believers, to allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word. We thank you for the spirit of your word. We pray that this spirit will speak to us, Lord, and penetrate our inner beings so that we can become more like you. Help us to respond in a way that will bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. And will you use your word to accomplish that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think that you will agree with me that this is a very sad but yet powerful story. A man who had everything, a man that lost everything, but a man who stayed committed to God. Basically, we can say that Job was a consecrated man of God, right? He was a consecrated man of God, and he stood the test of times. Test upon test came his way, but he remained faithful to the Lord. I want to tell you my life story, and I was eight years old when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As Pastor mentioned early on, I'm the second youngest of 10 children, a lot of children. And you know what? Every day I sing victory in Jesus. I've survived. I survived that big family, and I came out to be the man that I am today. I survived. We are more than conquerors. Amen. So the second youngest of 10 children, and basically we were a very poor family. My father was a chief engineer on sea. He worked on the ships, and my mom basically raised us as a family, and she did a phenomenal job. She really raised us well. So we were a mediocre Christian family. Until one day, my aunt and Katie, she called my mom and she said, Peggy, I would like you to come with your family. I would like to invite you for dinner. Now, who in their right mind would invite a family of 10 for dinner, right? I mean, a lot of children, a lot of food, right? So, but she did. I don't know what compelled her. This was not a dynamic Christian per se. She was the quietest person in the church, and yet she had the boldness to invite my mom for lunch. And so we went, but I think it was strategically done. She invited us on a Sunday, right? And so we had a beautiful lunch, and we ate, and I heard her asking my mom, would you like to come with us to our Sunday evening service? Now, we didn't know about the Church of the Nazarene at the time. We didn't know what to expect. And I still remember all the excuses my sisters and my brothers had for not going to church, right? And I remember my sisters told my aunt, but we're not properly dressed and all kinds of things. All the excuses that you could find, you know, not to go to church. But my aunt was very persistent. And she asked my mom again, and eventually my mom said, yes, you know, we would love to go with you to your church. And so we made our way to the Matrisphonian Church of the Nazarene. It's a church that holds about 200 people. So we went, and it was a Sunday evening service, evangelical service, I will never forget. And the pastor, he was a very, very humble man, but a very powerful man of God. So we entered the church, right? We didn't know what to expect. And I remember sitting in the second pew from the front. I sat there, and my family sat behind me. And the pastor preached his message. And it was time for the altar call. And when he gave the altar call, I don't know what happened to me, but I found myself kneeling and praying at the altar, asking God to come into my life at the age of 8 years old. I remember the song that we sang, "Are You Able? Said the Mass to be crucified with me." That was the challenge God gave me at the age of 8 years. Are you able to be crucified with me? And those words resonated in my mind and in my life and with me, even up till this age, you know, and I didn't know why God called me at such a young age, but I had a personal experience with God at the age of 8 years old. You know why? Because some faithful saint in the church had the boldness to extend a simple invitation to a family of 10 to come and share God's blessing. It was last night when I thought about this whole story, and I said, God, thank you so very much that my mom did not say no. She said yes. And thank you for the obedience and the faithfulness of my aunt. And she, because she's the one that really initiated this whole thing, and could you imagine what would have happened if she was disobedient to God? We might not have been in the Church of the Nazarene. I might not have been there at the altar that evening, but she did. And that was my journey with the Lord, and I believe at that young age I was consecrated to God. I believe that God came into my life at that young age, and God had a plan for me. My journey since then was a very great journey with the Lord. Consecrated in the sense that I never had any desire to take part in the pleasures of the world. And I knew God had a plan for my life. My aunt Aunt Helen, who also attended the Church of the Nazarene at the time, every Sunday when I would leave the church, she would stand at the back and she would say, "Will, God has called you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Since the age of 8 years old, it took 8 years since then for me to realize that God had called me to preach. So at the age of 16 years old, that's when I received the calling of God upon my life. Was men and women that really spoke life into my life. And then I consecrated my life to the Lord, and since then it has been a phenomenal journey. I'm telling you this story because this is what God wants to do for each one of us, and He seeks out people like you and me to be consecrated for His glory and for His purpose. I'm telling you this story because it links with this story, and it follows on with the story of Job, a man who had everything in life, the Bible says. He was the wealthiest man in the East. He was the greatest man in the East. He had everything. He had fortune. He had family. He had servants, the Bible said. He had just everything going for him. But God gives a great account of this man's faith. In fact, God tells us that this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. In other words, here we see a man who was consecrated to God, a man that was sold out to God, a man that was set aside for God's purpose. And here we see that he became the greatest man in the East. Now, I don't know about you, but when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, my whole life changed. It was a life-changing experience. And every day, every week, every month, God is changing my life because I know there's something more to than just being a mediocre Christian. And this man, Job, he made a conscious decision. He says, I am going to set myself apart for God's purpose. I want God to bless me. I want God to use me. And that's exactly what he did. He became the greatest man in the East. And so, a forgiven sinner, I believe, is quite different from an ordinary sinner, right? Someone who has been forgiven by God, a man who was maybe reckless in his ways, the wayward, the prodigal son. If he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? There's a difference between that man and just an ordinary sinner. We know that something happened. It's either his countenance changed, the way he speaks and the way he reacts, but we know that something positive happened to that man. And so we can also say that there is a difference between a consecrated Christian and an ordinary Christian. A consecrated Christian is the one person that says, Lord, I want to be set aside for your purpose, for your use, and I don't want anything to do with the evils of this world. In fact, Lord, I want to be like this man, Job, who shunned evil, but he feared God. This was the type of man that served God. And I believe that as we go through life, God calls us to a deeper relationship with Him. And I believe that most of us here today had that conversion experience. An experience where we came to that point in our lives where we said, you know what, like Job, I don't have time for the evils and the pleasures of this world. But I came to a point in my life where I just want to follow God and I want more of God and I want more of Jesus Christ. And my desire is to fulfill His plan and purpose. I want to live the way He wants me to live. And so we had that conversion experience, but the Bible says that there is something more, much greater than the conversion experience, for that is the first step towards holiness. The other step is to consecrate ourselves for the purpose of God. And here we find this man, Job, that is exactly what he did. He consecrated his life to God. And you may ask, but how does this fit in? This man who had suffered so much tragedy, this man that has suffered so much pain, who lost about everything, how does this message fit in, or your story fit in with our message today? I want to start by asking this question. What does it mean to be consecrated? What does it mean to be consecrated, to be set aside for God's purpose? I want us to think in terms of the birth of a child. And you know what, when my children were born, it was an exciting, happy event. I remember that. And we recognized then that was the beginning of new life. We never said that was the end or the conclusion of that era, of that child, but it was the beginning of something much greater. And the same it is for us as believers. We being saved and born again with the life of God is truly a wonderful, exciting, joyful experience. And God says to us, it's not the conclusion, because that is just the beginning of a whole new journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to always seek God in a deeper, intimate way. And just as babies need to grow and develop, we as Christians need to move forward step by step. And so, as Job, when he made that decision and when he came to that point in his life where he said, I want to serve God and God alone. I don't have time for the pleasures of this world. I want to serve Him. So what is consecration? Consecration is the giving of ourselves to the Lord to become a living sacrifice. Remember the scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? And Paul says it so beautifully. He says, I exhort you therefore, brothers, through the compassion of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, in the Old Testament, the priests and those who were in charge of the tabernacle, they would consecrate certain ornaments and elements to God for worship, meaning if they decided to consecrate this ornament, it means it's no longer theirs, but it belongs to God, and it can only be used for God's purpose. In the New Testament, it's a different story. It's no longer things that we consecrate to God, but it's ourselves, our lives that we consecrate to God. And saying, Lord, this life that I live is no longer my life. It's your life. It's for your glory. Job came to a point in his life where he said, Lord, whatever I have, whatever I do, I want to please you. Why is this so important in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember I told you my story about being 8 years old? I believe that consecrating ourselves to God is the root of all steadfastness. That is the thing that will glue us to God. That is the very thing that will attach ourselves to God. And we have this desire just to please Him and Him alone. The root of all steadfastness, my friend, is the consecration to God. So what does it mean to be a consecrated Christian? The consecrated Christian, as we have read in this passage of Scripture, it means that a consecrated Christian is a prospering Christian. Amen? God wants to prosper us. Every aspect of our lives, it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, in the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 300 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man of in all the East. In other words, this man's life was prosperous. You know why his life was prosperous? Because he consecrated himself to God. And God wants to prosper us in every area of our lives, not just financially. Yes, that will come. But he wants to prosper us in every area of our lives. The psalmist in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The Bible says, whatever he does shall prosper. Job was a prosperous man because he consecrated his life to God. And now God is telling us, the only way that we can move forward and be prosperous is when we consecrate our lives to God. And this means that we should prosper in our marriage. Amen? For those of you who are married, marriage should be the most beautiful thing on earth. God wants us to prosper in our marriage. God wants us to prosper raising our children. And this is exactly what this man did. The Bible says, every year at the time of a certain feast, this man would dedicate his children to the Lord and saying, Lord, I consecrate my family to you because it's important. Raising our children, we should prosper in raising our children. We should prosper in our professional lives. For those of us who are working, hard-working individuals, God wants to prosper us, but we need to consecrate ourselves to Him and for Him. What about our businesses and our ministries and even in our friendships and relationships? God wants to prosper us. Did you know that the overwhelming evidence through the Scriptures is that God wants to prosper his children in every way possible. It's no wonder Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." So the consecrated Christian is a prospering Christian. I also believe that the consecrated Christian is the powerful Christian. Amen? It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by our own resources, it's not about our bank account that makes us powerful. The only thing that makes us powerful is when we consecrate ourselves to God. Verse 3 of chapter 1 says, Job was the greatest man among all the people of the East. I read this quote while preparing this sermon. It says, "It does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men." Can I say that again? It does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men. I had a nephew, Jerome, and he was born into to my sister and my brother-in-law. And Jerome was a very brilliant person. And he was born to be an albino baby. And with that comes a lot of challenges in society, right? Especially in our culture, right? So he was fair-skinned, and he had a lot of challenges. He was being bullied at school and in the community, and all kinds of names were given to this little boy. But he grew up in the midst of all those circumstances. Now remember, I said it does not take great men to do great things. It only takes consecrated men. Jerome came to a point in his life, just like myself, just like Job, and just like a lot of you this morning. He came to a point in his life where he consecrated his life to God. And in his youth, since the age of 10 years old, Jerome started to preach the word of God. Jerome went around in the neighborhood telling people about the love of God. He went around knocking on people's door and invite them to church. This is what he did at the ages between 10 and 12 years old. At the age of 12 years old, Jerome was on his way to my mom. He loved his grandma. He was on his way to mom, and he took a taxi from where they lived to where my mom lived. And on his way, the taxi was involved in an accident, and Jerome died in that accident at the age of 12 years old. And so now we are at Jerome's funeral. We could not understand why it happened. We did not understand how it happened. It was a very tragic time in our family, losing our very first nephew and also one of the grandchildren. But at the day of Jerome's funeral, we heard people saying that Jerome came to me and he told me about the love of God, and he told me that Jesus saves. He invited me to church. At his funeral that day, there were over 500 people because of the impact that he had in that community. And numerous of people testified how this little boy, between the ages of 10 and 12 years old, came to their house knocking at the door, doing great things for God, not because he was intelligent, not because he was a special child, no, because he was consecrated to God. And so Jerome served his purpose here on earth, being consecrated to God. That should be our goal this morning. Be consecrated to God. Be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what makes us great? What makes us powerful? What made this man so powerful? If a consecrated Christian is a powerful Christian, what makes us powerful? Is it the amount of resources Job had? No. Was it the amount of money he had? The amount of riches and wealth? No, but the Bible gives us a true account why this man was great. You know why he was great? Because he feared God. He feared God. The Bible says that Job feared God and he shunned evil. What a foundation to build our lives upon, where we come to a point in our lives where we say, I fear God and I have decided to follow Jesus, the world behind me and the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. He feared God, he shunned evil. What makes us great is taking responsibility for our own soul, like Jerome at a very young age. Taking responsibility for our own souls, but also taking responsibility for others who are weak and lost. Isn't that the whole reason why Jesus came into this world? Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What makes us great is not the kind of job that we have. What makes us great is when we take responsibility of our own soul and then the souls of those who are weak and lost. That makes us great. What makes us great? Remaining focused on the spiritual instead of the worldly things. Job, the Bible says, had everything, but you know what he did? The Bible says every time they had a feast, he was so focused on the spiritual things than the worldly things. What would he do? He would go the following morning, early the following morning, the Bible says, he would go and he will sacrifice a burnt offering for each one of his children, thinking perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. He was focused on the spiritual things rather than the earthly things. What makes us great, church, is praying and praising God on a daily basis in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives. I don't know what's going on in your life, but no matter what it is, it could be relationship problems, it could be marital problems, it could be a struggle with certain sin in your life, whatever it is, but it's a good time to pray and to praise God. This is exactly what Job did. Verse 20 and 21 says, at this, after losing just about everything, his fortune and his family, this is what he did. He got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of God be praised. Here this man, having lost everything in his life, found time to pray and praising God. That makes us great in the midst of circumstances. You know why? Because we are consecrated to God and we know we have the confidence that things will work out for us even though we cannot see the results. What makes us great is desiring personal growth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the same person that I've been last week. I want to say that, you know what, because I study the Word of God, I've grown and I have discovered a new truth. That is part of growth, my spiritual journey. Design personal growth. Lord, I'm not just satisfied with the salvation. Yes, I do appreciate my salvation, Lord. And I do appreciate my conversion. But Lord, I want to grow and I want to experience the next level. And the next level is I want to be consecrated to you. What makes us great is a deep desire to be intimate with this God that created us, this God that is giving us the opportunity to come together and worship Him even beyond this Sabbath beyond the four walls of this church. And when I leave this place, I know that I have an intimate relationship with God, and I don't have to wait until Sunday, but I have this intimate relationship with God. Why? Because I walk with Him on a daily basis, I speak with Him on a daily basis, and I have this desire to grow. A consecrated Christian is a powerful Christian. God can use you, young person. Mother, Father, God can use you. And He has given us the Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And the reason why God wants to do that is so that we can be His witnesses wherever we find ourselves. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses wherever you go. A powerful Christian is, a consecrated Christian is a powerful Christian. But I also believe that a consecrated Christian is a protected Christian. In verse 8 to 12, we have the account where God tells Job, and He says, Satan, you can touch everything, you can take everything from this man, but his soul belongs to me. You are protected. Why? Because you are consecrated. You don't have to fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but He gave us a spirit of power and of a sound mind. We are well protected. And therefore, we can claim and pray the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our relationships, over our ministry, over our church, over our families. And we have the security and the peace that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't it good to know that God covers us with the blood of Jesus Christ and that we are not alone? We don't have to fear. We are well protected. Job was well protected. The Bible says that God told Satan, you cannot touch him, you cannot have him. And the reason for that is your soul and my soul are important to God. You know why it's important? Because it's about eternity. It's about the life after this life. It's about, will we reign with Him? Will we see Him face to face? Or will we be forever be condemned? We are protected, praise God. And we have the power and the ability to shun all evil. God is with us, amen. And then lastly, I believe that the consecrated Christian is a persevering Christian. He never gives up. He never gives up. In verse 22 of Job, it says here, in all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Now you may ask me, what's wrong with this man? After having endured so much pain, trouble, and chaos in his life, what's wrong with this man? You see, my friend, perseverance involves a choice. We have to make this choice. I don't know what you are going through, but we live in a world where, according to Jesus, we will have trouble. And we will have trials, and we will suffer, the Bible says. We will have battles, according to Romans, our inward battles. We will have those things. But you see, in order for us to grow in grace, we need a hope. We need a hope. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, hope is called an anchor for the soul. That is what we need. Job had an anchor for his soul. He could say with all the confidence in the world that I know that my Redeemer lives, and on the earth again, shall stand. May I remind you this morning that God is alive in your circumstances. He is not separate. He didn't separate himself. He's in your situation. And that is why we need this anchor called, this hope called the anchor for the soul. And isn't this a tremendous image? Think about an anchor and a ship and how this anchor gives security and stability to a ship in the midst of a storm. Without that anchor, that ship will not survive. Without the anchor of hope, the anchor for our souls, we cannot survive. The reason why Job persevered was because he had an anchor. He had God. He was sold out for God. Who do we cling to if we are challenged, if we are caught up in situations and trials and storms? Who do we go to? We have a choice. Like I said earlier on, perseverance involves a choice. We can either say, you know what, I'm going to give up and get out, or we can say, I'm going to go on and trust God all the way. What are the benefits of choosing to persevere in all the way? James tells us in James 1 verse 2 and 4 and 12, it says, consider it all joy, brethren and sisters, whenever you are faced with many trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so consecration is only possible when we give up our will about everything. What is it that we need to give up this morning? And maybe there's an area in your life where God is challenging you. He's pointing out to you right now. What is it that we need to give up? Is it our will? Is it our, Lord, I need to bring up my family. I need to, my attitude, whatever it is, I don't know. It simply means this. God wants to be God in everything, and he wants to be God of everything. Everything Job had belonged to God, and he knew that. That is why it was no problem for him, losing everything he had. But he knew that the same God is able to redeem him and restore him. So let us embrace the true meaning of being consecrated to God, to be set aside for God's purpose. A beautiful scripture in the Bible in Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Are you ready for amazing things, church? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for amazing things. But it starts with us saying, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated all to thee. Take my will, take my feet, let them move at the impulse of your love. Take my life and let it be.